the book of Psalms, or the book of praise, it is also known as. It was written in 1400 BC to 400 BC. There's multiple authors of Psalms. It is 150 chapters, 2,461 verses, 43,743 words. The book of Psalms was written by authors such as Moses and David and Solomon, Asaph and the sons of Korah, many more. It covers a time span of about 1,000 years. The 50,000-foot summary, the book of Psalms was hymnal and a prayer book for the children of Israel. For us, it teaches us how to worship and praise God. Interesting facts about the book of Psalms. To amaze your friends and family. So this is fitting for the time of year. You know, you guys are going to be around friends and family. So these are just facts that you can spit out. And I'm sure it's just going to earn you all kinds of like oohs and ahs. The name Psalms is a Greek word meaning... Anybody have any ideas what it means?
Songs.
What?
Songs.
What?
Hymns.
It's psalmos. A translation to English is song of praise. Not hymns. Close, I guess. And somebody said songs, right? Was that you, Hallie? Songs and praise. So put it together. Songs of praise. The Hebrew name for the book of Psalms is Talia. Talia, which means the book of praises. The book of Psalms has 150 chapters. Have any of you read through Psalms? Some of the chapters are like super short. Some of them are a little bit longer. We did the candy, 150 chapters. Each chapter is a different song. We did the candy bar bonus question. The book of Psalms is the biggest book in our Bible, going by word count. The most known psalm, do you got by Christians or saved people? Do you know it? Psalms what? Psalms 23. Yeah. Can you spout out? No, she's right. Psalms 23. Do you know it?
I know.
You can go ahead. Just what you the rough. We can go there and look at it. But do you just know it off the top of your head? I'm Jim. Yay, though I walk. Yeah. The Divine Shepherd. It's a pretty short chapter. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my heart with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, verse 4, I think everybody knows. It's in movies and all kinds of things. I mean, I would say most, like they said, even most lost people know it. It's a pretty famous verse. In the New Testament, the most quoted Old Testament verses are from the book of, or from Psalms. Jesus quoted the Psalms more than any other Old Testament book. Can any of you guess how many times? Go ahead, Jacob.
15.
Close. No cigar. Bryson?
17.
Close, but still no cigar. What?
10.
Closer, but no cigar.
11.
It's 11. 11 times in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament. A couple of the notable ones, a lot of them are found in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 27. Turn to Matthew 27, verse 46. Hold your place in Psalms, please. Matthew 27, past right or right. When you get to there, 2746, somebody want to read it?
And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" Yeah. He said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, and the word you could not pronounce. Sorry, I'm trying to get there still. What? What child?
Your child.
Oh, Zebin? Zebin's with your grandparents right now.
What?
Huh? I don't know if he's going to be in there the whole time. Anyway, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" If you flip back to Psalms 22, verse 1, the suffering Savior. No, just chapter, verse 1. Do you want to read it? Elena, you look like you wanted to, huh? 22, verse 1. Just the first sentence.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? It says Jesus quoted Psalms more than any other Old Testament book. I'm just showing you some examples in the New Testament of him quoting Psalms. I think it's just pretty neat to see. Luke 20, 17. Who? 20, verse 17. Read it when you get there. If you want. Yep.
And he beheld them and said, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, and the same is which came on the head of the
cross." Yep. Does anybody, who all has a red letter Bible? Where the words are red? This? You guys do? Yeah? This is Jesus speaking. Flip back to Psalms 118. And then verse 22.
"Stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner."
The words in red is Jesus speaking, and then obviously these are words written down in the book of Psalms, which is before Jesus came. So it's just pretty neat to see that he's quoting scripture, you know. The most quoted or referred to verse from the book of Psalms in the New Testament is Psalms 110:1, a psalm of David. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Does anybody have any guesses as to how many times this was quoted in the New Testament?
Seven.
Seven?
Two.
Nope. 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 How many times do you think Psalms 110:1 was quoted in the New Testament? So we just read it.
22.
You want to read it again? You want to actually turn to it in your Bible? They just gave it a cutout.
20.
What? You're throwing numbers out now?
25.
We all were. It's 20.
Oh, hey.
20 times. Hallie, it's, you just read it. Yeah, "The Lord saith," 110:1, "The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Does that help? You heard it? Have you heard it 20 times?
No, I've never read it once.
I've got to read more in the New Testament, I guess. Mom didn't like you being left-handed?
Yeah. It's
a weird way to look at it, I guess. The longest chapter in our Bible is
Psalm
119. Y'all got the answers over there? Oh, yeah, Psalms 119. How many verses? 185. 176. I was like, you all have your Bible in front of you. You just 150 chapters. 176 verses. The shortest chapter in Psalms is? 23
Psalms.
No.
15?
Nope. Nope. 117. How many verses?
Five.
It's two verses. It's just two verses. You want to look at it? It's two verses. All right, who wants to read that one? Psalms 117. The universal praise of God.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. You can fly through some chapters if you're reading through Psalms, you know. Imagine just being like, I have to read three chapters today. And it's just like 116, 117, and 118. You're like, man, whew. Pretty quick. Just three chapters a day. And then you get to 119. And you're like, man, tomorrow's going to be the worst. All right. The oldest Psalm is probably I wouldn't expect any of you to know this. What would you think? 21. We got 150 guesses. Psalm 90. Yeah, which was written by Moses. Psalms 120 through 134 are songs of degrees. They were sung by the Israelites as they traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the various feasts and worship services. The songs and prayers written in the book of Psalms are written in the form of Hebrew poetry called parallelism. Do any of you know what that is without reading? Are any of you like into poetry?
Parallelism.
Thinking math. So when you think of poetry, most of you think of like rhyming, right? Like rhythm, rhymes. Not always, no, because there's a different form, but parallelism is when the poem makes a statement and then is followed by sentence that add more detail to the statement or contrast the statement. Parallelism doesn't rhyme words in a poem like we do. It rhymes ideas and thoughts. So it matches the ideas and thoughts with what they're trying to convey. Lyrical poetry is what it's called now. I do not know if that is true or not. I was not a poetry person, period. Sometimes I make sentences and I put them together and they're kind of poetic or they rhyme and I call myself a poet, and I didn't know it, but for the most part, key verse in Psalms, and it says your choice, pick one. Does anybody have a favorite? I wrote my favorite down. Go ahead.
I don't have a favorite verse, but it's just chapter 16.
69.
It's about like depression. It really helps me when I
break my house. That's good. Does anybody else have one? How long is it? Is it a long chapter? Say we can read it. There's lots of emotions covered in Psalms. Let's see, 69. It's a good one. It's a good long one. We're not going to read through it for the sake of time. Lament of the Reproached. Anybody else have any favorite verses? One that just jumps out at you, you've heard. What?
Psalms 23.
Yeah.
117.
Yeah, that sticks out to you. Just the two. Do you know it just offhand?
No, 119.
What 119? What? Yeah. 119:11. Thy word I have hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I know you've all heard that.
I actually have.
You have it? I have. It's a pretty easy one to remember, too. That's one of my favorites. Christ in Psalms. In Luke 24:44, Jesus said the Psalms told about him. Christ can be found in every psalm. He is the good shepherd, the king, the light, the rock, the redeemer, etc. He is found in the messianic Psalms 2, 8, 22, 69, 72, and many others. The book of Psalms can be divided into five sections. I think it's pretty neat to see how, like, the book itself was comprised in reading this, because I didn't know this before. The 150 chapters of the book of Psalms are actually a collection of 150 individual songs and poems. They are arranged in order. They are not arranged in the order that they were written. They are also not arranged by author. They were written by various authors over a period of 1,000 years. As they were written, they were used by the people of Israel in their worship services, like hymns, like we use them. They would read these psalms, you know, like during praise. Much like we use our hymnals in church today. The songs were sung by Israel during the feast and in the temple. It is believed that Ezra put the 150 songs together in the order that we have them now. Somebody just organized them like they are now. It's pretty neat to just see. The 150 chapters or songs are arranged into five books, or sections that make up the book of Psalms. Each of the five smaller books has a theme that it is focused on. The themes of the five books within Psalms line up with the themes of the first five books of the Bible. And the table below shows the chapter divisions of the five books and what they focus on. Each of the five books ends in a few verses of doxology, a short hymn that praises God and gives him to glory. Glory to him. The first section will be chapters 1 through 41. Book 1, that's all these chapters comprise to make this book. It's not divided that way up in our Bible, obviously, but this book corresponds to the book of Moses, which is the first book, Genesis, in our Bible. The 41 songs in this section are all written by King David. In 2 Samuel 2, or 23:1, David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote over 70 of the psalms in the book of Psalms. So in this section of Psalms, David pours out his heart to God, asking for protection and help from his enemies. The Psalms in this section are about the cry for deliverance. It follows the message of Genesis. Psalms 1 is about the perfect, blessed man planted in a garden. Psalms 2 shows the rebellion of man. Psalms 3 shows the man on the run, and the rest of the section is the human heart calling out for help. So, I mean, you can tie this back to what David had going on in his life during this time period, and kind of makes a little bit more sense if you guys remember going through Samuel. Chapters 42 through 72. This is the second book. This is Psalms about Israel's redemption. This book corresponds to the second book of Moses, or Exodus. So as we were reading through and studying all of this out, if you read Exodus and then read these chapters of Psalms or read them together, they'll kind of correspond with each other. The 30 songs in this section were written by various authors, probably during a time of Solomon. They include King Solomon, Asaph, a chief music leader in 1 Chronicles 6:31 through 39. You learn about him. And then the songs of Korah, the temple gatekeepers and porters of 1 Chronicles 9:19. The Psalms in this section focus on God and his power to deliver his people, that God is a present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46. Man is set free, redeemed from bondage of sin in Psalm 72, much like the Israelites were set free from bondage in Egypt. 73 through 89, this is the third book comprised in here. Psalms about worship and the temple. This book corresponds to the third book of Moses, which is Leviticus. The Psalms in this section are mostly written by Asaph and the sons of Korah. The family is entrusted with the praise and worship in God's temple. Ethan and Ezrite and Herman wrote a couple psalms in this section. 1 Kings 4:31. Herman was the grandson of Samuel the prophet. 1 Chronicles 6:33. These songs focus on the nation of Israel's relationship with God.
Heman, not
Herman. Heman. Oh, I saw an R. Sorry. Heman. is about, yeah, relationship with God. Like the book of Leviticus, this section of Psalms is about man's deep consciousness of his own sin and the discovery of what God offers to do about it. Psalm 78 is about God's faithful love for his people. And Psalm 84 is about his continuous provision that he offers to us. Book 4. Psalms about wandering and the journey on the earth. This book corresponds to the fourth book of Moses, his Numbers, written by Moses and David, various other unknown authors. This collection of songs portrays the experience of human failure and God's victories as we journey through life on planet earth. From these songs, we see loving hand of God stepping in to help his people, much like God did during the wilderness wanderings of Israel. And then the last book comprised in the book of Psalms, book 5, Psalms about praise and the word of God. This book corresponds to the fifth book of Moses, which is Deuteronomy. The songs in this section were written by various unknown authors as well. The songs in this section portray a person who has come to the end of himself and is now ready to submit to the fullness of God and enter into all that God has for them. Much like the book of Deuteronomy, the final section is filled with praise and thanksgiving songs. Thanksgiving, yay. Psalms 137 is thanking God for the deliverance from Babylonian captivity. So that indicates it is written during Ezra and Nehemiah's time. Jewish historians believe Ezra is the person who organized the last few books or sections of Psalms. Why do we love Psalms? Anybody? How do you guys love Psalms? Don't, do you? I don't see.
Songs are made of the
Psalms. Yeah, you like songs, so Psalms, songs. Most of our Bible, most of our Bible is God speaking to us, telling us things. The book of Psalms is us speaking to God. Psalms are full of human emotions, pain, joy, sadness, praise, weariness, loneliness, fear, doubt, anger, sorrow, so on, so on. We identify with Psalms. They speak to our soul. As New Testament believers, we are told things such as, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, put away from you all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The encouraging words in Psalms help show us how to actually do these things. Instead of being told what to do, you can see how to deal with these things. The book of Psalms is our spiritual medicine cabinet. It's always good to have a spiritual medicine cabinet. The Bible tells us many places that God's word can heal us physically and spiritually. Psalms 107:19-20. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Is it bolded in your guys' outline? Yeah. Attend to my words, open the ear, incline thy ears to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And then John 6:63. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, the book of Psalms contains 150 songs. Each describes a problem or condition and then prescribes a cure, a way to overcome the problem or condition God's way. Therefore, each of the 150 songs is like your own personal medicine cabinet. We must admit to the problem we have, that we need help. A lot of us, well, me personally, like I don't, if I'm sick and not feeling good, I like to just try to tough it out. Sometimes you just need a little cough syrup, but you know. Cough syrup's not always the greatest. Our medicine cabinets are mounted face high for a reason. We must receive the medicine, not just look at it. Keep opening that cabinet. Cough syrup. Ick. Sometimes you gotta just take it. We must take it all according to God's directions. Don't wait until you are sick. Take preventative medicine daily. Be patient. Sometimes it takes time for medicine to work. Make sure you're following the directions of Proverbs 4:20-22. Attend, incline, not depart, keep them. If you want double the dosage, you are, the more you take, the stronger you get. You cannot overdose on God's word. God's medicine is free. These are just some of the emotions or things that you could be dealing with. Jim took the time to kind of lay them out for you. It's pretty neat how he did it, but any of the emotions or things that you're feeling, these are just parts of Psalms that you can turn to and will help you to deal with those. Who is the real enemy in Psalms? Huh?
Like the people that are writing it.
The people that are writing it. The men of the Old Testament battled against physical enemies, flesh and blood. The New Testament tells us about the battle, our spiritual enemies. Many times it is ourselves. A lot of times we just can't get out of our own way. We convince ourselves, we just get stuck in the sin that we're dealing with and we just stay there because we just can't get out of our own way. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to be pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our enemy is the evil of this world. All the things that you can get caught up in, the imagination of our minds, the desires of our flesh. When we read about the enemies in Psalms, don't just think about them as your neighbors. Don't just think about your neighbors, coworkers, family, etc. Don't think about the enemies. Don't think the enemies are just people in your life. Think about the enemies within you. Temptations, jealousy, pride, anger. Put off the old man of Colossians 3, and this is put off the old man, but it says set your afflictions on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Conclusion. How does this help me on Monday morning? Why did God give us Psalms? To teach us how to praise and worship Him. To teach us how to be honest with God. Psalms contain every human emotion we experience and how we refocus our emotions to worship God. We need to be open and honest with the Lord about how we feel. Tell Him when we are sad, angry, fearful, tired, happy, everything. Being in the Word every day, being real with what you're dealing with, struggling with, that's the only way that you're going to really be able to cope with it. If you just keep balling it up and pushing it down, it's going to be hard for you to deal with things that are going on in your life, sin or whatever it may be, emotions. He wants you to be honest with Him. Open your heart to Him, because that's what worship is. He also gives like a handout, Jim does. That's one of the other handouts that you guys got. Just more, it goes into in more in-depth details about that outline. So, I think we have like 3 minutes left or so. So we will pray and then we will get into service. Tonight, if you're bringing a side, make sure to bring it.
Are we also allowed to bring games?
Yeah.
Make sure to put your binders and Bibles and your pins where they go, please.